Good morning.
Good morning, Tina.
It's lovely to see you, and it's lovely to have those who are listening this morning. Welcome to the service on this long weekend, and you're all very good. You put your clocks forward. We're really looking forward to some more Bible teaching time together, and we can praise God for his word, I think, today. We're continuing, of course, in the book of Romans, and what a blessing that has been with all its teaching, and what a reassurance that we have such a wonderful, wonderful God who thinks of virtually everything. We can certainly praise him for that. So as we begin this morning, I'm just going to read a few verses. First one from Daniel. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his ways, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. And Acts tells us the time of ignorance of God, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given us assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And then wonderful Hebrews. Since we then have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathise with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just pause for a moment and close your eyes, if you wouldn't mind, just to concentrate on the type of week you've had as we come to God to confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we draw near to him, let us join together in this prayer. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we have the word brought to us this morning, let me just pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. The Bible passage this morning is from Romans 8, starting at verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. And for those who are listening in to us, welcome to church also. We continue our Bible teaching through the book of Romans on righteousness revealed. And so if you have your Bibles there handy, just open them up to them or your apps or at your home. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through to 39. The sermon's title for this morning is Remember. Remember, God is the one who keeps us right with him. God keeps us right with himself. And we come to that little point in Paul's letter to the church in Rome where it's been like a climax. Remember, like last week I was mentioning, it's like a journey climbing a mountain. And it has been tiresome at times. It's a hard journey to understand at different points. And then at other times we're just given a chance just to sit back and look at the scene and look back on what God has done. And that's where we were up to last week, and at the moment we're kind of at the peak of a climax of Romans, of Paul's letter, even though he has another 8 chapters to go. And we have a chance to look back over all that he has said so far. And that's what he's sort of pointing out when he says in those original words there, the first one, what then shall we say in response to these things? It's a wonderful question, isn't it? You know, and it's a lovely little fellowship question to ask each other. You know, how do you respond to the grace of God, to the gospel of God? Paul was not ashamed of it. He longed to share the gospel with people and to dwell on being right with God and to share that with others. How do you respond to these things? And these things here is actually talking about all of life up till now. It's not just reference to the difficulties of life that might, it's there mentioned, it's there thought of, but struggling, though we are forgiven and right with God, we still struggle with sin. And so he's asking us to respond on these things, to respond on the gospel in the light also of our struggle with sin, as God is making us more and more like Jesus. Our sin has been forgiven and we're right with God. So it's all of life here that's right with God. When there's a little phrase, these things. Yeah. You know, so look at there. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? And Paul's anticipating three questions here that his readers might be having at this point. And the first of the questions that he may be thinking about in his readers is, has God done enough to save us? Has he done enough? Has it all been done? Is it complete? I know he says there's now no condemnation, but is there any little bit that he has left out? Is there anything I have to do in response to this, in terms of securing my salvation? And the other question that's being asked is, could we still be condemned? Could God change his mind? Or is there someone greater than God who could overrule God's command and say, well, yes, you are condemned now? And that's the question. Another question that he's anticipating in his readers' ears at this time. And the third one is that, can our salvation be taken away from us? And that's a question we sometimes think, isn't it? Especially when we're going through a difficult time, or we're struggling with our sin, or we're struggling, you know, and we don't feel right with God. We might think, oh, maybe it's been taken away from us. And so that's the other question that's being asked there. And so I want to say there's two major points that come through. And here is the very first major point that comes up here that I want us to go away remembering, is that our salvation is an absolute certainty. Trevor, why can you say that? Well, it's because that's what the scriptures say. It has to be because God is the one who has achieved it for us. I haven't achieved your salvation. You haven't achieved your salvation. Someone else hasn't achieved your salvation. God has done it for you, for me, in Christ Jesus. And so in verses 31 to 34, we read, God has done enough to achieve it. There's three little points here. God has done enough to achieve it. And that's what I take it he's saying there in verse 32. He's saying, consider the length that God has gone to. He who did not spare his own son, right? But gave him up for us all, not just for a few, but for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul is answering that question that we have, has God done enough? And Paul's answer back is that from the scriptures is God has done enough to achieve it. He did not spare his own son to secure your salvation. If he's gone to that length, then everything else that he has promised, he will unfold for us as well. Our salvation is an absolute certainty. And the second thing he brings up is that, and consider this, God is the one who's chosen you. He's the one who's justified you. He's the one who no longer condemns you and condemns us. There is no one greater than God who can condemn us. Name somebody, possibly Paul could say. And that's what the next little part of the verse in verse 33 says. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? There's no one greater than God. So how can they bring any higher charge against you or overrule what God has done for you? Who then is the one who condemns? And the answer back for us to hold on, there is no one else. God has not condemned us because we are not condemned. There is no one else. And then the third point is that God's conquering victory in achieving our salvation through Christ constantly intercedes for us. And this is what this little verse here is all about. It's not talking about merely prayer. That was back in the previous chapter. What Paul's talking about here is that Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What Paul's saying here is that God's conquering victory in order to achieve our salvation through Christ constantly intercedes for us. The presence of Christ, God's Son, resurrected, ascended, and standing at God's right, the Father's right hand, is a constant reminder, though God does not need reminding. It's a statement of saying his work is constantly there before the heavenly throne room as interceding for us and assuring us of our salvation. It's been done. It's not like it disappears and God can't say, well, do I have to do it again? You know, where did it go? Was it really finished? No, God, the work of Christ constantly intercedes for us. And so the question then Paul asks is this, that, well, here we go. God has done it. God has chosen, God has conquered through. And so he gets to the next little bit question. He says, well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, instantly we sort of think here of the feeling of Christ's love or God's love for us. This emotive feeling that we have before it, and that's part of it, but it's not the main reason that Paul's talking about here of the love of Christ. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about all that God has done for us is his love for you. And so he's saying, can you or I be separated from this work of God that he has done showing you his love for you? Can you hear that? Yeah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall undo all that God has done for us? And he goes on to say, despite life, our salvation cannot be taken away from us. This is the second point, major point. It can't, because what God has done is impregnable and irreversible. And that's what verses 35 to 39 are all about there. Life's troubles are still the norm for the saved. Go back there and have a look at those verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But I go through these difficulties and I don't feel right with God. Maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to think more. Maybe I need to go to church more, which is a good thing to do, and to pray more. But when we start to think that way, or maybe I'm being persecuted and maybe I've done something wrong and God's telling me life's supposed to be easy to be right with him and to know that I'm right with him. No. He's saying, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or death or sword separate us from the love of Christ, the work of God in the gospel? And he goes on to say, verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, for God's sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. The question back here is, life's troubles are still the norm for the saved. All right? They don't mean that we're not right with God when we go through them. Christ suffered. Christ was persecuted. And in Christ, we too will find life difficulty. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Not might, or not supposed to, but will have, because we are his people. We are Jesus' people. But take heart. What's the next little bit? I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Shall anything separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Yes, you will feel them, but they will not separate you. This is part of the life that we live. It will not separate you from that. We may think they can take away our salvation, but here's the big point that comes through here. But in Christ and through Christ, we benefit with Christ from God's conquering victory. We are secure despite what we go through. No, he answers to all these questions. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will separate us from the work of God in Christ Jesus. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's an aorist tense there. It's a past action. It's past. Loved, not loves. He does love us as a result of loved us. It's a pointing back to the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. And now standing at the right hand. All the completed work of God in Christ for us. More than conquerors. Remember the bottle? Oh, here it is down here. You are in Christ. Christ has conquered. We've conquered with him. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what God has done for us in Christ. We benefit through the whole process of it all. It's a gift from him. It's grace won for us. It's not saying now, oh, we can overcome our sin. Yes, we can with his help. We can work through our temptations. But it's not pointing at that saying we are more than conquerors. that we shouldn't be sinning, or we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be, but it's, we shouldn't be having this troubles. So, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Despite what we might be going through, we are saved. We are right with God. Remember, that's the reason why Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome, right from the very beginning. He wanted to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He hadn't been to the church in Rome, and he wanted to encourage them. He also was wanting to share the gospel with them and made sure that they got this right and knew that they were right with God. And he's not ashamed of the gospel, because what does he say? It is it, the gospel, the love of God in Christ Jesus, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes it. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, what? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The way God has made people right with himself through his son Jesus. A righteousness that is by from faith, from first to last, just as is written, to be the righteous will live by faith now in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Romans 1 to 11, here's a good little summary of where we're up to. Even though we're up to chapter 8, Romans 1 to 11 is about salvation. It's about how we are God has made us right with himself. Romans 12 through to 16 of what we now will be looking at in a few weeks' time is about sanctification. And that means now that we are right with God, how do we live the right life with God? Lots of people get the two mixed up, and they think that their sanctification is what keeps them right with God, or is what has saved them. I'm living a good life. I pray, I go to church, I try to live life God's way. That's great and that's wonderful, but it doesn't save us. It's because we are saved by the work of God in Christ Jesus. We do those things with the help of the Holy Spirit only. We couldn't do it without the salvation. And so Romans 12 to 16 is talking about that. And then in between that, in verses chapters 9 to 11, which we're going to be looking at over the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, Paul thinks about God's people in the past and the present. And he thinks, well, what about the Jews? You know, how are they right with God? The gospel is the same for them too. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at Paul's speaking about that in Romans 9 through to 11. So just wrapping up, our salvation is an absolute certainty. That's what these verses are saying to us today. Our salvation is an absolute certainty. Why? Because it has to be, because God is the one who has achieved it for us. If there was any other way, God would not have bothered to send his son Jesus into the world. He would have asked us to keep doing it. What we were doing. But because we can't, he became one of us and did that for us. God has done enough to achieve it. God has chosen, God has justified, and no longer condemns us. There is no one greater than God who can condemn his people. God's conquering victory through Christ constantly intercedes for us. Despite life, our salvation cannot be taken away from us. It can't, because what God has done is impregnable and irreversible. Verses 35 to 39. Life's troubles are still the norm for the saved. We may think they can take away our salvation. We may feel they may take away our salvation. But in Christ and through Christ, we benefit with Christ from God's conquering victory. We are secure. God's conquering victory is the gospel. The gospel is the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is what has made you and I right with God. Nothing then will separate us from it. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved us, the cross. May that be a constant reminder that we are saved and loved, and nothing will separate us from that. For I am convinced, do you? I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Remember, it's not you that keeps you right with God. It's not me that keeps you right with God. God keeps us right with himself. We, with the Holy Spirit now's help only, are being sanctified and cooperate and appreciate our salvation and live lives in cooperation with God's Spirit to be more and more like Jesus. It's the proof, our faith's proof is our works, but our works are not what save us. They're proof of our faith in what God has done to save us.
Great high priest whose name is love, whoever
with Christ and in Christ. Would you please stand with me to make a statement of our faith? Please join with me in these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together in the words that the Lord has given us in the family prayer, or the prayer that he has given his disciples. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Rosemary is going to lead us in prayer for the world and our nation.
Let's continue in prayer. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." Our Heavenly Father, you are our portion, and you hold all our days in your hand. We thank you for the good and pleasant things in our lives. Please help us by your Holy Spirit to look at life positively and see what we have and be thankful. Forgive us when we look at what we don't have and become negative and complain. In Jesus, we have all that we need. We have all the spiritual riches which he freely gives to us. Lord, may we delight in you. May we enjoy your presence, your comfort, and your love. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you for answered prayers. We thank you for your continued protection of us from the COVID-19 here in Sydney and for many people in Australia and throughout the world. We ask that you will continue to prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis and continue to grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask. Amen. Today we'll be thinking about prison chaplains and also bringing before you in prayer Kim, who is over in Ireland. So let's pray a prayer for prison chaplains. Almighty God, you offer freedom to all people. We especially pray today for prison chaplains, and we pray for them as they care for prisoners who face fear and isolation and are convinced that you have no interest in them or their lives. We pray that you will give chaplains wisdom and compassion as they comfort and advise and care for prisoners and for those who have been affected and wounded by the actions of others, especially the victims of crime. We pray for them as they support the families and friends of detainees and also the prison staff in often difficult situations. We commend all prison chaplains to you, to your loving care and your almighty protection, especially in times of sadness, stress and trauma. Stir up within them the spirit of generous service to enable their love for you and all your people to flood all prisons where they serve. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We also pray today for Kim Patterson in South County, Dublin, Ireland. We acknowledge, dear God, that with her the impact of COVID-19 as it has been hard over their summer, as she has not been able to feel settled, as she has been feeling that having a permanent place to live is difficult, and not being able to build relationships in her church or make friends in the area has been difficult. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that she has been reminded again and again through your word that she doesn't need to be anxious about her future, that you provide for her every need, and with you all things are possible. We give praise to you for Black Rock Community Church and pray that you will equip her with the love and resources she needs to minister to the people there and in a Christ-centered way. And we also thank you for the forming of Illuminate Media, which Kim has worked hard to get up and running. We thank you for this new initiative and potential income stream for Kim, and we ask that you will help her as she builds her website and clientele base, and pray with Kim that it will pair well with her work in Black Rock Community Church. We thank you for her faithfulness, for the love she has for God, and we pray that Kim will have joy and peace in knowing you, that you hold her future, even when she doesn't know what that might look like at times. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue to pray as a congregation that we will still care for one another and prioritise the need to encourage one another as we remain restricted in our ability to gather together physically. We pray today for Lynn Clark, for Jean Steele, for Kay Woodcock and Max Schweizer. Give to them strength, perseverance, healing and protection in their circumstances. And we also pray for those who are caring for them. Thank you for the resources we have here as a congregation to stay connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the encouragement of being able to listen to our Sunday services online as well as meet together each Sunday. Help us to continue to meet together, to draw near to you and encourage one another as we wait for the day of Christ to come. The set prayer for today. Almighty God, creator of all things and giver of every good and perfect gift, hear with favour the prayers of your people, that we who are justly punished for our offences may mercifully be delivered by your goodness, for the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And will you join with me in these responses? Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
May I encourage you to look in the centre of your bulletin, your church bulletin, with the news and notes. There's just bring to your attention that our mission for October will be to continue to pray for Kim Patterson in Ireland and the prison chaplaincy and the Farsis as well with Worcester Church Aid. So that would be lovely to just, that's what we're going to centre on. So if you have in your own private prayer time those people in mind, it would be greatly appreciated, I'm sure. God is great, remember. Tonight we're having a Bible study with Trevor from 5 to 6 in the back of the church, so please, all are welcome. It's a great time to go over the scriptures that we've read today and heard about today. There's also a service leaders meeting after the service for those who lead and those also lead us in prayer. We've also got our next prayer meeting, which is tomorrow night from 7 to 8. I'd be delighted if we could all pray together. That's such a great time of fellowship and to be praying for our church and each other. And, of course, toys and tucker. Ready? It's Christmas time. It's coming round the corner. So it's time for us to contribute, hopefully, to, and like we always do, we've got such loving, generous people here at St Andrews. The first Sunday that we're setting up the table will be the 16th of October, and then that will go right through to the last Sunday in November. So there's in the bulletin, so if you need any help with that, I'm sure you might remember last year. We haven't got any notices at the moment. And last but not least, please feel free to avail yourself to the October Southern Cross, and there are details within the bulletin about how to do that. So we just... there's quite a few today, isn't there? We're about to go out into the world, and the world that it is very frictioned and very disturbed and very stressed. But we are so fortunate because we have such a great God. And today, with the reiteration and reminding us that God is great, God is in control, and because of him and the gospel and the grace and love that he has for people, we can remain in him and he will take care of us and we will be conquerors. So in that light, I'd just like to pray. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. What a wondrous God. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.